Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was fabulous. What a great way to kick off our weekend. If that doesn't light your fire, I don't know what will. And I don't mean that as a pun.
Yeah.
That was fabulous. Thank you, guys.
That's Reality from Ventura. And my vote is we just keep singing all night with them. That would be my vote. Y'all, thank you so much for coming up. And just starting us off, what an awesome start to a cool night. I can't believe that we are actually sitting inside talking to you.
Yay!
It was 1 year ago this thing was canceled, wasn't it? It was almost the very first one that they canceled, I think. And to be back 1 year later is a testament to not just you all, first responders, but to just the God's grace and mercy to us. So, way to go. It's so exciting. I can't believe I'm up here. I keep wanting to like Zoom you guys and move you over and mute you and then see your name and kind of say, let's just move on to the next Zoom meeting. So, hey, we would love to get to know you. Our name is up there. So I imagine we have a lot of people still from the Hume House, Firehouse. Let me see the Hume guys and gals. And some of them still here, some left. They're back there. Okay, yeah, y'all in there. We'd love to find out maybe a little bit more. So let's start with who has been in the service or who has been a firefighter for the least amount of time. So do we have anybody here
newbies
who has been less than, let's say, a year? Can I see your hand if you've been in less? We have one less than a year. No.
I don't think he's telling
us. I don't think so.
Really?
Let's find another one. Anybody under a year? Anybody under 2 years that you've been? Okay, let's try under three. Wow, we have some good.
Maybe we should jump to five.
Older. Let's start under 10. Anybody under 10?
Right over here.
We have two? Just three?
Three.
We have three under 10. How many? How long?
Seven?
Seven?
Six.
Six? Do we have a four? Come on, baby. Well, hey, five, go back there and at that table. There's a lot of free things, but Chelsea will set you up with, where's the five? Where are you? Oh, you get to go back there and pick something that's free. That's not free. For you, it's free. Let's do that. And then let's see who's been the longest but still is active. Can we see anybody over 30 years of active duty and service?
And right there?
How long?
Wow.
31. 32.
Can we have a 33 is next.
You're
45.
And still going up here. That wasn't the retirement. What did we just do up here with you? I thought we retired. Did we retire him? We just honored him. He's still on. He's got a free milkshake. Who was 33?
Somebody was over here. 34?
You get free milkshakes too. Just say, I sent you. And you'll get a milkshake.
Jason's like,
No, don't do that. You go back there and she'll give you something. And then 33 years. And then let's see who brought the most people from one firehouse. How many are here with at least four people? And should we count spouses?
Yes.
Okay. We'll count spouses. Let me see who's here with at least four.
Okay. Right over here?
Uh-huh. Five? Well, we'll probably go in even numbers, maybe six. Who has more than that? How many of y'all with you?
Are you including retired guys?
Yeah.
Yes, we're including retired. Except Hume, you can't participate. Oh, are you Hume? You can participate.
Six of us from the firehouse.
Where at? From which department did you say?
LA City.
LA City.
LA City. All
right. I love LA City.
And how many do y'all have?
Six from Fresno.
And six from Fresno. Way to go, guys.
Anybody else? Who's just like you two are the only two from your whole firehouse? A couple of y'all.
A couple of you?
A couple of y'all.
They'll welcome you into the six.
Yeah.
Go with them.
Anything else we want to know? What else you want to know? Let's see some. Yell out where a couple. We know LA City.
Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
Carlsbad.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
Ventura County.
Whoa,
yes, that's just around the corner. Farrington, baby. Is that what you said, Farrington?
Farrington, Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
Loyola is just beat. Yeah, yeah, way to go. Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Illinois. Anybody else?
San Diego.
San Diego? Who are the San Diego people? San Diego. Cities? Mm-hmm. County? City?
Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
Arizona.
Wow. Where are Arizona people?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
We're up here. Leave us
me,
alone.
Me, myself, and I.
Anybody else want to yell out where you're from?
LA County.
We got LA County and LA City at the same time. And what? San Francisco?
San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo.
Carpentry of
Summerlin. Carpentry. Way to go, baby. Way to represent. All right.
Oakland.
Palo Alto.
Livermore,
San Bernardino. Come on, good night.
Everywhere.
Hemet. Did someone say Hemet?
Cal Fire, Tulare County.
What did you say?
Tulare County.
Cal Fire in?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Very good.
Oh, it's good to see you guys. We're not with any house. We're from Orange County, so we're at a university, Bible University. And we're so glad to see you. And it's so fun to just get to know a little bit more about you guys and just some of the cool things that we can learn about you. Lise, one of the things that we thought we would do is, just start with a couple of examples and fun stories. Is that how you want to do this?
Absolutely.
And we'll introduce ourselves in just a minute. But Lise, why don't you tell them what we do and real quickly get us started that way.
I'd love to. Well, we are the co-directors of the Center for Marriage and Relationships at Biola University. And the reason that this even launched and got started about 7 years ago is because we have such a passion for healthy, Christ-centered relationships. It touches every aspect of our lives, right? There's nobody that's not in a relationship, in some kind of relationship with somebody. And so we just felt a real call of the Lord to help people build and sustain healthy, Christ-centered relationships. And so we do a lot of work with college students. We do a lot of work with adults at conference centers. But we would love for you to go and visit our website at cmr.biola.edu. You can find our podcast there, The Art of Relationships. We have free relationship advice. We can actually do that by Zoom, which is really fun. So we have that. We have special events, blogs, video clips, just an amazing amount of resources, and most of them free. Also, some online courses that you can take, like The Art and Science of Relationships, Spiritual Warfare in Marriage. What does that look like? Have you ever thought about that? We did a whole conference on that last year, and we have it as an online course that you can take for like $25. Nothing. Yeah. So it's great. But we'd love for you to go take a look at our website. And while you're here sometime this weekend, be sure and stop by our information table. There at the back, there is our sweet friend, Chelsea Smith. Wave hi, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. She'll take care of you back there. And we have a lot of free resources that are available to you there. So please stop by and take a look.
Yeah, thanks. And we're just so blessed to have all these free resources because of, for us, the way we've done this. Mm-hmm. It's just a ministry, and donors have said, go do this, man. It is so awesome to have people come up to us and say, we love what you're doing, and we're going to support this and do it. And we, and most of them want to make it free. So we've just recently done a marriage conference in Spanish, and it was in LA County right there in the middle heart of an area in which the gospel and the people rarely get an opportunity to hear some of these cool things. And went to inner city Detroit. Man, you talk about awesome. Inner city Detroit, and we walked in there, and it was the most alive, awesome place, and just to make a free conference for them, and that's what we did. We just put it on, and they came, and it was huge, and that's our love. And when we go up here, you said Palo Alto, you know, we go not far from there, but we went up recently to imagine one of the hardest universities to get into and go and talk about relationships, UC Berkeley. And we went up there and we started talking to them about how do you do relationships well at UC Berkeley. And they walked in and they didn't even riot. And I'm like, Lise, what happened to our riot? We're talking about Jesus up here and they let us in. And I'm like, this is disappointing, man. But it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
They invited us back next year.
Yeah.
UC Berkeley, baby. We're like, let's do it. And Yale Law School.
Yeah.
You talk about feeling intimidated walking in. They're like, okay, let's talk to Yale guys, women and men, about relationships at the heart of a place, man, where Yale Law School is secular beyond secular. Isn't that awesome? God opened that door. That's why we do it for free. That's why we go all these places. It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
I think one of our most exciting partnerships, though, that we want to be sure and let you know about is it occurred just about, I don't know, 6 to 9 months ago, not very long ago, but Joe Lindemann and Victor came to us and talked to us about becoming an official partner with Firefighters for Christ. And so they said, there's a great amount, there's a great amount of resources that are available for fire service in the area of mental health, well-being, relationship, help, counseling, but not very much of it is from a faith-based perspective. And so that's what we're coming to do in partnership with Firefighters for Christ, is to provide faith-based resources for you. And so you can check out, we have just a bunch of resources that we're providing for the Facebook, for Instagram with Firefighters for Christ. So hope that you're tapping into those resources there.
Yeah. All right, you guys ready to get started?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I'm a psychologist, and I want to just tell you a couple quick stories, something that I find fascinating. And then we're going to go through just some processes and talk tonight about what does it mean to be known by God. What does it mean to know God? What does it mean? We're going to have one word for the tonight. Let's pick one word. It's going to be the word friend. That's it, the word friend. I'm just going to start like this. So I study psychology for a long time, and one of the beautiful things is I get to look at the human brain and the human mind and figure out how it's been designed by God to show evidence to one of the most secular disciplines in the entire academy. If you go to any university, anywhere in this country, and you go into a psych department, you will probably not find a Christian faculty member. At UC Berkeley, anybody want to know how many faculty they have there? Anybody want to take a guess? I don't even know if I know the number.
I don't know, about 1,200?
Was it 12? It was 1,200. Do you know how many, by the way, this isn't psychology, this is at UC Berkeley. Do you know how many identified Christians there are at UC Berkeley and the faculty? Three out of 1,200. Send your kid there. I guarantee you what they're going to have to do. They better be prayed for, and they better have a good foundation. They better sit in a room and take a bunch of stuff that's really hard to take. Three at an entire university. Like, that's messed up. Okay. So I study psychology, and it's one of the most of all of them least Christian. But it's so cool because every time we look at God's mind, we get to see the human mind, we get to see God's mind. That's amazing. So check it out. There's a guy, and we're going to call him Patient X. All right? That's what he's known for officially. Now, Patient X had something really weird happen to him. Patient X had a series of strokes. Y'all have been called, by the way, into many different situations. I'm sure sometimes you get called as paramedics and as first responders to those amazing things. By the way, let me just thank you ahead of time. You know, you go in and you see these people that are hurting and messed up, and you never know what happens to them. Some of you go into horrible situations, and you transport them, you give them away, and you drop them off with people. And I just want to say personally thank you, because I've been taken in many times from some amazing accidents. And it's so powerful to see the way that God shows up in places like that. I want to tell you a little bit about Patient X, though. He had a series of strokes. What happened in these series of strokes is he lost his vision. All right? He's 100% blind. He can't see anything. But one day, someone is working with Patient X, and they ask him to identify and look at some things because they found some curious things, and they were just working and trying to see what was left, because the weird thing was his eyes were 100% normal. They even responded like to light and everything else, but he couldn't see. So they checked. So what they did was they put a series of pictures in front of him, and they asked him, Patient X, can you see anything in front of you? And he says, the answer is, no, I can't see anything. And they took a picture in front of him of a person making an expression of an emotion on their face, put it in front of patient X and said, "Do you see anything?" He says, "No." They said, "Could you guess the emotion on the face of the person in front of you?" And he would go like this, "Yeah, it looks like they're happy." But he didn't say it that way. He said, "I feel like they're happy." You put a picture in front of him, remember, he's blind, of someone making a sad, angry face, or just a sad or angry face, and he will say, "I don't know, but I feel angry." And he could guess the emotion on the face as a blind man. Now, you tell me the mystery. How did he do it? Anybody have a guess? How could a blind man see emotions on faces of people? That's the mystery. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. We'll go to the next slide. The next slide is just this idea of us friends. Jesus says something about I call you friends. Let's go to the next one. I think this is way cool. Try it out real quick. Go ahead. I don't know why it's blank, but there it is. Yeah. This is a psychologist that I happen to know. He has written the number one adopted textbook in the entire world. Okay? This is a psychologist named David Myers. Good news is David Myers happens to be a Christian, and they use his book at UC Berkeley. Don't tell them that David Myers is a Christian. What did he say? There are few stronger predictions of happiness than a close, nurturing, equitable, intimate, lifelong companionship with one's best friend. Okay, what's that have to do with patient X? It has a lot to do with patient X. Anybody see the connection yet? You will, huh? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Here's another quote. This is also a psychologist. His name is John Gottman. He's one of the most famous psychologists in the world because he does marriage stuff. He's not a believer. He's Jewish. He says, well, he's a Jewish believer. 40 years of research on what, let's take that back. I don't know what he is. He's Jewish. I don't know if he's a believer at all, but let's go with this. Ready? 40 years of research on what makes for a happy marriage can be summed up in four words: a deep, abiding friendship. He has done 40 years of research. If you ask anybody, who's John Gottman? Ask him at Berkeley, they'll go, "Oh, we know him. He does all the marriage stuff." They asked him one time, what's the four words you could say if you could sum up all your research? He goes, it's a deep and abiding friendship that makes for happy marriages. Pretty cool, huh? All right, let's go to the next one. We went from that. Let's go to C.S. Lewis, who is pretty close to Jesus in some ways. Friendship is responsible for 9/10 of whatever solid and durable happiness there is in our lives. It does not expect too much. It turns a blind eye to faults. It revives easily after quarrels. That's pretty cool. Let's go to the next one. The Old Testament. At least this is awesome stuff. Because in the beginning, in Genesis, the first problem wasn't sin. Did you know that? Do you believe that? What was the first problem? It was what we could call it sin. But really what happened was it started to isolate. Think about that for a minute. It isolated. It made people alone. And the problem, therefore, was now what we see today. It is, I mean, it's just semantics. It's the same thing as sin, but it's aloneness. That's our problems. If we could stop and tell people they weren't alone, there was somebody there for them. Somebody said, you know, the number of people that wouldn't necessarily need to live in these homes or in these settings or in these hospitals for people that are struggling with mental illness. The number of people that could go home would be amazing. So let's go to the next slide. It's not alone. Maybe this one works. I'll just see if it works. If it does, it's awesome. In fact, it wasn't alone. This is God's remedy for this. Next slide. God's remedy for this is, take it back off. What's God's remedy for whom you know, human loneliness? Can you guys read that? I was supposed
pretend
to be
you
a
didn't
quiz.
See that.
And some of you are going to say God's remedy was marriage. How many thought God's remedy for loneliness was marriage? None of you want to raise your hand now because it's the wrong answer. That's messed up. Y'all thought it was friendship and fellowship, and it is. That's God's remedy. That's what's going to happen and await us in heaven. Let's try the next one. The only two people in the Old Testament who were called friends of God. Don't put the answer up, because who were they? There's only two people in the Old Testament, by the way, who were called friends of God. Oh, I think I've heard the right answers. Was it David and Jonathan? Was it Caleb and some other
Joshua?
It was Abraham and Moses. The only two people in the Old Testament. Okay, we're starting a theme here. Let's go to the next slide. This is Jesus talking. We finally got to Jesus. It took us 30 minutes. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Lisi, what do you think?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, of all the verses, this one I think makes us sometimes just go like
well,
that.
It can be very familiar to us. And sometimes in familiarity, we just skip over something that is absolutely incredible when we pause to really think about it. Look in the middle of that verse. It says, greater love has no one than this, than someone laid down his life for his friends. You know about that, don't you? You do that every day. You know what that feels like. So does Jesus. And he said, greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And guess what? You are my friends if you do what I command you. Do you hear that? I mean, let's stop. Stop for a minute. Who just said that? The omnipotent creator of the universe just invited you and me into that exclusive relationship that throughout the whole Old Testament, only Moses and Abraham were included in. Do you see that? Just Moses and Abraham, the whole Old Testament. And then Jesus comes along and he invites you and me into that exclusive sense of familiarity and intimacy of friendship with the omnipotent creator of the universe. Let's don't skip past that. Let's be sure and pay attention to that and embrace that, because that's going to play a significant part of what we unpack the rest of the night.
Yeah, so this clicker's not working, so I'll just call you out. Just let's go to the next slide. Elisa was saying, wow, what does it mean to be called a friend of God? It means kind of wow, amazing. To be called God's friend is deep and powerful. So here's a couple of questions we want to ask. And so the next slide is this. How does he see us if he sees us as friends? So if we go to this possible understanding, can we go up to this here? What does it mean for us to understand that he sees us this way? So put up the next slide. We got a lot to cover here. But he said, I no longer see you as doulos. I see you as philo. And you know the word philo, right? Friends. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Philo, Philadelphia, philo. He sees you as a philo. Doulos means you're a servant. What's a servant? Let's read the first one. Lisa, these are the ones that I think are most powerful.
Absolutely. So let's look at it. And a servant is unnoticed and a friend is known. It's invisible as opposed to enjoyed.
And in Zephaniah, we just talked about that.
Oh, yeah, Zephaniah, that's beautiful. Talk about being enjoyed. It says he exalts over you with singing. He delights over you. A servant is tolerated, whereas a friend is treasured. You're replaceable versus beloved. You're fearful versus favored. You're controlled versus appreciated. You're obligated versus valued. And judged versus accepted.
Yeah, as we look at this, Lisa, I think one of the things that stands out to us is, why don't we live this way? Why is it so hard for some of us to not understand that we are known or treasured? How many people out here and how many people are you associated with that sometimes feel invisible? Or maybe they don't feel like they're able to come before God. They're fearful. Or maybe they just say, he ain't gonna talk to me, man. I messed up too many times. I can't do it well enough to get there. Do you know what it's like to feel like you don't make it You can't live up to it. Do you know what it's like to feel like you can't earn what God has given to you? That it's for some reason you are unable to find it in yourself to stop the things that bug you, that worry you, that you hate? You know how hard it is to sometimes sit there and say, God, I don't even want to come to you with this sin anymore because I struggle so much with it. Do you know what religion is? We had a good buddy and we were talking together one time. And I just remember Lisa and I, this, he goes, you want to know what religion is? Here's religion. Religion is this. It goes here and I'm trying to get to God. And religion is this. Boom, I could do this and I could get better and I could do this and I could pray and I can fast and I can just read and I can work with people and I can behave and I can do good. That's religion. Bam, 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 bam. And you know what Christianity is? Here's Christianity, the God of the Bible. It's Him coming this way to you. Okay, one more time. This is religion. It's you trying to live up to do something on the left-hand side to get there and to be better and to say, I'm going to do this next time. And it's this going to this, trying to reach a God that you can never make it to because the gap is too big. And this is Christianity, where He comes like this and gets closer and closer and comes to you. You see, because here's the problem. Here's the problem. You know what the problem is? The problem is our inability to understand and to see things clearly. We have what we call a perceptual problem. We have a perceptual problem where we interpret things that people say to us and do, and we see it in a certain way. So let me just put up this next slide. Here's what it says. This problem is our filters, our perspectives, our perceptions, and misinterpretations get in the way of how we view ourselves and others. Okay? Do you believe that? Can I give you an example of it? Okay, here's the example. Here's what I mean. They took some people and they gave them a makeup artist in a room, and they sat them down and they put a scar on their face like this. It was extremely noticeable and very ugly. This scar was right along their face, and the makeup artist did an amazing job, gave a mirror and went, and they looked at it and they went, ah. Now, we want you to go out and interact with people and see how you feel with this scar and interacting with people. Are you following? So they go out, you tell me how you think they reacted to people when they went out and interacted with them. They would come back and almost all of them said the same thing. They all came back into the room and they said, tell me what it was like to walk around with the scar. How did people treat you? Raise your hand if you want to say, guess what people said they felt was different from when they weren't wearing a scar. They felt people were more or less what? Raise your hand. More or less what? You don't have to raise your hand. You can yell it out. More or less what? They seemed more judgmental. Good. They seemed more or less what? Come on, man. This is a big ugly scar. You're walking around interacting with people. Do you think it's going to influence how they view you, people? They came back saying people seemed to be colder. More distant. They didn't seem to be as friendly as before. Does that all make sense? Almost every single person came back and said people were colder, they were less friendly, they seemed more distant, they seemed like they backed away from me a lot. Isn't that interesting? You want to know the secret? Not a single person was actually wearing a scar when they went out. Every one of them came back and said this about the people that they interacted with, but not one of them is wearing a scar. You know why? Because before they walked out the room, the makeup artist said, hey, hold on just one second. The scar is peeling just a little bit. Let me put some more glue on there. And they removed the scar. And they sent them out. And they all came back believing that people were colder and more distant and unfriendly, and they weren't wearing a scar. You tell me the application to that. Do you have scars? Do you mess up? Do you see God through the filter, or other people through a filter of what you think may be something about yourself? Do you do that? Do you think sometimes people might notice everything about you, or this one weird scar, or that's how God sees me, and I can't go to him because he sees me scar? That's the problem. You want to know the solution? There's the next slide. Here's the solution. What is the filter by which God sees you? What is the filter by which God sees you? Oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's always the answer. In Sunday school, what's the answer? Jesus. Yes, boy, you're right. It's Jesus. Put up the next slide. That's how he sees you. You see, because something powerful happened on the cross, the day Jesus took sins upon him, he took scars upon him. Your scars. And he calls you beloved. And he sings over you. And he calls you beautiful. And he calls you treasured and appreciated. Imagine if that's the way we saw ourselves. What if we were able to see ourselves the way God sees us? Do you think our worlds would be different? Think about it. If we could see ourselves the way God sees us, like this. The problem is your enemy keeps coming in there and saying, you're busted, man. You're messed up. You can't go to God like that. You're invisible. He don't care. He ain't gonna listen to you anymore. Y'all, this is extremely powerful to grasp on. He calls you his friend. Oh my gosh, his friend. I've never stopped at times when I first read the Bible. I wasn't a Christian growing up. But when I called a friend, it's like this, like, wait, is that right? What version am I reading? The New Living? The Message? What version is this? He's my friend? I don't think so. A man straight out of the New American Standard Bible. King James, new edition. I don't know where it's from. All right, it's amazing. So, Lisa, there are signs then when we put this into play. We have about six minutes.
Yeah, so when you think about it, how we feel like God views us, how we view him in terms of a friendship impacts and influences how we extend our friendship to other people. Think about the person sitting closest to you. Those scars and those filters that you interpret, that you see the things you expect to see, influence and impact how you view that other person, how you treat that other person. And so if we look to God, who is our ultimate friend, that omnipotent creator of the universe who invites us into that exclusive, intimate friendship with him, then that follows that it should impact the way we treat our friends, our spouses, our children, our siblings, our neighbors, our coworkers, right? So let's take a look. If God is the ultimate model, then let's look at how he did it and think about, what is it in research that supports what we see in the Bible in terms of how we do friendship, okay? So, well, let's talk about the five signs really quick about a good friendship. Number one, Chris?
Yeah, so good friends. By the way, these studies, these five things are pretty, we keep referring back to some research, but every time I go in to find some psych things, you guys, I just see God's handiprint all over it. Every time I look, I just see, man, God, do you know he designed us? This way? I'm going to tell you the answer, by the way, to patient X. How many are still waiting for that? How many even you forgot it? You're so tired. Like, that COVID shot. Man, I don't know. What's patient X? Who are you?
COVID brain.
Where are we from? Let's bring up the worship band. Five signs. We frequently laugh together. Psychologists said, you find these five things, you're going to find good friendships. And you're going to find good relationships. You're going to find good marriages. The best marriages have these five things. These five. Compared to marriages that aren't good. First one, good friends frequently laugh together. So cool is we transfer affect like this. Ready? We'll talk about this tomorrow. When I'm happy, I tend to transmit that to the people around me. Have you ever hung around somebody who's not very happy? What's the first thing you want to do is, I don't want to hang around with you anymore. I'd rather go hang around with that happy person. Because we transfer who we are that way. It's powerful, and this is related to God.
Absolutely. We talked about the Zephaniah, that God exalts over us. It says he sings over you with delight. And I love this verse in Psalm 27:8. David says, the one thing I ask, Lord, the one thing I seek the most, more than anything else, is to dwell in your presence all the days of my life, delighting in your perfections. Now that is enjoying each other. That is frequently laughing together. That's sharing your sorrows, your happiness, your joys. And it's just simply you love being together. Do you have those people you just like being around, right? It's just like I tell Chris, I would rather hang out with you than anybody else I know. And I really feel that way. I honestly do. I haven't always felt that way.
Hey, we don't have any time.
How much time do we have? That's
no, we
all
got
of
like
session
10, 5
two.
Seconds.
Yeah. But good friends frequently laugh together. Number two.
Yeah, they calmly discuss issues and ideas. And I think, Lisa, that if you do this together, good friends oftentimes find a way, hey, we disagree all the time, man, but we do this with controlled emotions. We figure out ways to argue. So we had a little one about the milk the other day, of all things, milk. And we're like, we're like, whoa, hold on here. But the way to do it calmly is the way I think it was so fun to watch that we just, so it's not always been that way. I think when he says he is patient, slow to get angry, right? This is an amazing, amazing passage for us. And let me just read it real quickly. Exodus 34:6. And it says this, the Lord. By the way, if they ever repeat things, it's pretty important. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sin. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. It's an amazing passage. So as we go through these, Lise, you know, the third one.
Number three is good friends confide in each other. That means you share your secrets. You share your hopes, your dreams, your fears. Good friends know who is the person you have the hardest time with at work. Mm-hmm. Good friends know what is the thing you're most excited about when you retire down the road. Good friends know what are your hopes and dreams? They confide in each other. They share. And think back to what Jesus said in John when he said, I call you my friends. And he says, no longer do I call you servants like a master, but because I share things with you, you are my friends. So that's the model that we follow.
Yeah.
And number four?
Yeah, number four, good friends accept influence to work together, let the other person influence us with generosity, compatibility, kindness. God says he knows the plans he has for you, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future, to give you a hope. Mm-hmm. And then you'll call upon him and come and pray to him, and you will seek him and find him when you search for him with all your heart. And that's a pretty amazing thing. Okay. And then, so, Lise, as we go through even just this last
piece. The last one is that did we go past it? There we go. Number five is that good friends expect longevity. So when you think of marriage, you are in it for life. We don't even talk about, in fact, we call it the D word. We don't even mention the D word. That is just not an option for us. When we talk about our conflict, we just look at each other and we say, you know what? We better figure this out or it's going to be a long 60 years. Yeah. Going to be a long 60 years. So we are in it to win it. We are not bailing. We're here to stay. And friends, too. right? There are those that have your back. There are those that are friends for a reason and those that are friends for a season. Friends that come and go. But those close, good, inner circle friends that you have, there's that expectation that it's going to last.
So, what's the connection? What's the tie-in? It's that God designed us for relationships and for friendships. Patient X, you ready for the story of the blind man? How did anybody have the answer? How could a blind man see faces on there? It's because our God designed a brain that has two different pathways. One that goes from your eye to the back of your brain, the high road that sees things. I see you, I see this, I navigate. The stroke wiped out patient X's high road. And God, in his infinite mercy and powerful way of being a Trinitarian God who's in relationship with himself, forget it, who's in relationship with himself, who's in relationship with himself, has then caused us to want to be in relationship with others and designed it this way. There's a different, another pathway. And it goes from your eyes down through your amygdala, the emotional part of your brain that senses emotions on the faces of people and can look and say, are you okay? Is everything fine? It's the basis of our ability to have empathy for somebody else and to take their point of view. And so this pathway, the lower road of consciousness, was still there. It just went into the feeling part of his brain. So he couldn't see, but he could feel it. You have two pathways in your brain. You do. So you could talk to somebody and they're talking to you, and you ever go like this, you go, are you okay? Is everything all right? That's that second pathway. That one in which we feel and sense. And it's designed by a God who says, this is how you connect to other people, by going deeper with them. That's why Jesus met that woman at the well and saw deeper and asked her questions and went deeper. So, Lise, let's just summarize it. I don't know if there's another screen. If there is, put it up.
So as we close tonight, we want you to take some time before tomorrow morning and even maybe throughout this weekend and think through these three questions based on what we talked about tonight.
Take a picture.
Yeah, take your phones out, snap a picture of it so that you can talk about this together. Number one is, when I look at the slide, we might want to put that slide back up after we take a picture of this.
Yeah.
But when you think about that slide that contrasts how we see ourselves versus how God sees us, do I see myself as known, treasured, and loved, or do I see myself through my scars and through my filters? Number two, how am I allowing my scars and filters to influence my closest relationships? And then number three, how would my closest relationships be different if I looked at them the way God looks at me? Okay. So that's what we want to
do. Do you mind putting up that slide with the column servant, and you can take a picture of that one as well.
Yeah, there it is. You can take a snap of photo of that.
Pray for us, as you take a picture. I'm gonna pray for us. God, we just come before you humbly as your servants, but also needing great mercies, because sometimes, Lord, we mess up. Sometimes we have scars that influence the way we see you, but God, go before us. I pray for these firefighters out here that love you, that want to walk with you and know you. They have a hard, difficult time during even seasons that are normal, let alone a season like this. Go before them and bless them. Be here tonight. Be here this weekend. Thank you for Hume Lake and the beauty of this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm.